Hello and welcome to the very first episode of Daily DVR. All right, everybody, welcome to the premiere episode. My name is Axel. Daily DVR is a proud member of the DVR Podcast Network. Check out our other great podcasts like Podcast Winterfell and the Westworld Theorycast at dvrpodcast.com. Daily DVR will officially kick off next Monday, September 10th. This is the placeholder episode. Podcast aficionados are familiar with the fact you got to get one up there to even get listed. So you do that episode a little bit before you actually start, unless you're the big guys, which I am not the big guys. But you will help me get there. This is what we're going to do. Daily DVR will be available 5 days a week to patrons, and 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to everyone. So you'll be able to get it on iTunes, Acast, Stitcher, whatever, wherever you get your podcasts from. And if you join us on Patreon for as little as $3 a month, go to patreon.com/DVR. You'll get lots of great extra content on there. We do tons of Patreon-only podcasts like the Film List, as well as a bunch of other stuff. And I'm going to be really putting a lot of stuff on Patreon once we launch here on Monday, September 10th, which is in just a couple of days. We've been doing podcasts, a little background, you know, I've been podcasting for over 10 years, started with Lost Mythos Theorycast and those other great pods that I mentioned, Podcast Winterfell, Westworld Theorycast. And on the DVR Podcast Network, we have a lot of great pods that you can listen to. A lot of great people that are part of the crew. Heath, DJ. We've got a lot of folks who come in on the pods. And we've been pumping them out. And this is the new venture, which is me talking about TV and film daily. Like I said, 5 times a week. Once again, 3 days a week are going to be available. For everyone, 5 days a week on Patreon. You get your own RSS feed there. And I do want the show to kind of evolve and grow. I'm going to get the format under better, tighter structure as time goes on. And a lot of that's going to depend on feedback and what people want to hear about on a daily basis. I'm a fan of daily podcasts. I'm a big listener to the Locked On Podcast Network that does sports. I listen to the Slash Film Daily Podcast, some politics and other news daily podcasts. So I think it's a great opportunity for me to just kind of check in every day about different things, and it gives me the opportunity to build on thoughts, ideas, but also get more in depth into shows that normally I just maybe cover a 5 or 10 minute segment every month or two, you know? Now I can kind of talk about each episode as they air. I'm going to try to do that as well as covering news, daily topics. I'm West Coast, so that gives me a little bit of an advantage because it's noon right now. It's 3 o'clock in New York. So there's most of the daily news for TV and film has hit the airwaves and the interwebs. So it gives me an opportunity to then drop this podcast where those folks will be kind of maybe heading home from work. I'll probably try to get it up between, who knows, anywhere from noon to 5 West Coast time. Well, noon to 3 West Coast time, which means that then it'll drop, you know, latest 6 o'clock or so on the East Coast, thank you, where I used to live. That's why it confuses me. Every time I think about it, it still confuses me. But you can reach us at dvrpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at dvrpodcast. That's DVR as in digital video recorder. And, you know, the format would just be intro, news, and then I'll chat about one or two shows I've recently watched. And please do hit us up, dvrpodcast@gmail.com, because I want to kind of tailor this towards people who are listening and be able to have that daily feedback back and forth. So I'd like to have feedback on every show and you know, whether it's Twitter at DVR Podcast or emailing me, we can do that. And then hopefully, you know, who knows? One day maybe I'll move this thing to YouTube or something like that and take calls or whatever. I mean, that would be a lot of fun to do. So today I'm going to hit some quick news items, and then I'm going to dive into some shows I watched and also talk about the premiere episode of the Mayans MC, Motorcycle Club, baby, the follow-up to Sons of Anarchy, which premiered last night on FX. So let's do this. All right, first things first, a little bit of news. Today the trailer for the new Halloween film premiered. I'm a fan. I've always been a fan of the original Halloween. I can't say that I'm a big, huge horror guy, but I've watched all the subsequent sequels and such. What sense they made to me, as with so many of these different properties that have been done over and over again, and what's canon and what's not, I really don't give a shit. I really could care less. I just want to see a good film. And this is, to me, has the makings of a really good film. David Gordon Green is directing it. John Carpenter executive produced it. Danny McBride helped write it. You know, they're bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis. It's a direct sequel to the first film. So they've done this. I can't remember. They've done this with other horror IP as well. But so this is basically like how the original Halloween ends, and then we pick up, you know, 40 or 50 years later, and then here it is. She, Jamie Lee Curtis is, had a family. She has a daughter, and, she's, you know, Michael Myers has come back, and she's waited all this time to kill him. And she's kind of more aggro about it, right? Like she wants to be on the offense. I liked it. I thought the trailer was kind of cool. I have kind of a rule where I basically stop every trailer, like with about, you know, if it's, this is a 2-minute and 34-second trailer. So I watched about a minute 40, a minute 30 of it, because what they do now is they just fucking edit the movie for you. Like the trailer is just the whole movie, you know, and you're getting at the end of the trailer, you're getting at least one of the endings, because now so many films have like three endings. But the film opens October 19th in theaters, and it looks pretty cool. Can't say I'll be heading out to the theater to check it out, but I definitely will be checking that out on Blu-ray or on the D to the VD, DVD. Secondary, another news for all you Marvel heads out there, which I have kind of become a fan. I've got to admit, I have not always been a fan of the comic book movies. I am a film nerd, film purist, blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm a filmmaker, director, writer, editor. I love film. And the reason why I got upset, or I would, for many years, I watch everything. So I've seen every Marvel movie probably twice, maybe some of them three times. My wife enjoys them, so I watch them with her, and I'm interested in them too. And I always want them to be better, right? I grew up on comic books. I wasn't a huge Marvel guy. I was more into Batman. But I enjoyed those. I read a lot of them, and I'm familiar with a lot of the stories. So I always wanted it to be better than it was. I felt like it was, you know, obligatory 18-minute fight scene where you can't tell what the hell is happening, which they've gotten better with, I have to admit. And as time has gone on, you know, we're what, 20 movies in, 10 years into this thing? I know somewhere out there, somebody is correcting me on exactly how many Marvel movies have been made. But I'm not a huge fanboy like that. I'm kind of a film person first, so I see it as a film first, right? Not as a adaptation of something that I hold dear to myself. And I try to look at everything like that, even when I do hold dear to it, because it's a singular entity. It's a new creation, right? But as time has gone on, I have a son who's about to be six, and he's gotten old enough to watch some of the movies. I don't let him watch all of them, because some of them are a little, you know, it's too much violence and guns in particular. I've come to appreciate the films. And I've had great friends like DJ Tim Hines and Glenn and Heath and other folks who love these movies and have kind of made me realize what I can appreciate with them. And today we got a first look at Captain Marvel with Brie Larson. I mean, they're making a big deal about it on the internet. You know, she tweeted out yesterday, "Hey, you ready to break the internet, EW?" And then people are like, "Oh my God." Like, you know, Entertainment Weekly posts like 5 pictures, and they're all, of course, super photoshopped still images. They say nothing about the film. They give you little hints. People who are into it, oh, they recognize this, and it's good. It's got a great female empowerment vibe going. And I'm a big fan of Brie Larson. I like her. I think that she has a bit of an edge to her, and she's a good actress. You know, I can't say that I've seen her in. I haven't seen Room, which is supposed to be her defining film. But I've seen her in a couple other things. I think I saw that was at Short Term. Is it Short Term 13? I don't remember the name of it. That was a great film. A couple other things I've seen her in. I think she's good for the role. I like her. She's like a Rachel McAdams for the next generation. You know, Hollywood has archetypes, and she definitely fits the bill. And the movie looks like it's going to be fun. There's a bunch of films coming out soon. Of these superhero movies. The Shazam trailer came out a little while ago, right? You've got this coming that look more fun, but also, you know, they've got the action vibe going on. More in the line. This looks to me, and I don't know, but from reading and what I'm seeing, it looks a little bit. This Captain Marvel might be a little bit more like humorous, but I don't know. I could be totally wrong because I don't really know that much about Captain Marvel, so maybe I'm wrong about it. But from the pictures and everything else, it looks kind of cool. And there's going to be a young Nick Fury in it. The costume's kind of fun, you know. I mean, what do you look at these costumes and you get to see all these different characters? I'm looking at the pictures right now. Oh, look at that. Jude Law. Jude Law's in it. Oh, this looks pretty cool. Yeah, look at that. Look, they de-aged Samuel Jackson. That looks pretty cool. So, you know what? There's some cool shots. These movies are fun. My complaint, and mainly, has always been on the money side. It takes away the opportunity to make, you know, 10 adult dramas for every one of these films that are made, and the studios just don't make those anymore. And that's not, you can't blame, you know, the superhero movies are like Westerns of ye old in a sense, aren't they? They're just a kind of, they're a genre that people are, that people kind of, I don't know, just like they eat them like candy, and they really do. Like, I don't even remember when these movies came out. Black Panther's now on Netflix. I got to tell my son, he's going to go crazy. He loves that shit, you know? And I've been able to enjoy it more because of that too. So those were pretty cool. I'm actually looking forward to that. I'll check out that, Captain Marvel film when it comes out. And, another piece of news, we got the new House of Cards teaser dropped today, which is just, I mean, how many of these do they do, right? Claire walks in the room. She goes, "I'm in back," you know, there, whatever, Netflix, just release the fucking thing already, right? But it looks okay. Kevin Spacey has been killed off. We know about his sexual assault allegations and all the nasty stuff that came out about this dude. So now she's taking over. I'm a House of Cards fan. I enjoy the show. It's soapy, you know. It was always fun, and I never took it too seriously. I never thought it was a great show. I thought it was a very well-produced soap opera, and who cares what happened? They kill him off. That's the big news, is that he's dead. No shit. He's not coming back. They said he was dead, but they got to get some news about it. So they release it. And I'm actually looking forward to it. I think this new season is going to be abbreviated. It's only 8 episodes. They would go Would they go 10? Sometimes that dreaded Netflix 13 episodes, whenever something goes over 10 episodes on Netflix, it's not a good idea. Even when they did that extra episode of Stranger Things last season, that they admitted that they wrote Netflix forced them to do another episode, so they just decided to introduce a new character to see, because they thought maybe it could, whatever, a spinoff, I think now she's in like a comic book or something. But I think that this is only going to be like 6 to 8 episodes, and I think it could be cool. For those of us who have watched House of Cards, I think they're still president. I don't even remember. The thing about these shows is, I've got to ask anybody out there watching, does it really fucking matter when the new season starts? Like, honestly, once they pick up on whatever happened, and then you know that we're all deft watchers of television and film. We know what's going to happen if we don't want to tell ourselves, and we're wrapped in that glow, that blue glow, and want to just go with it. That's always understandable. But with a show like House of Cards, they come back and they kill him, and then they kind of reboot the show every season. That's kind of what they do anyway with a show like this, right? The consequences are usually defined within the season, because when it starts again, it seems as though many of the, you know, the geopolitics have changed to suit the storyline and the plot, and that's okay. So when characters are taken away from a show on the off season, I actually think that it's an opportunity for the show to start in a new and cool way. And if this show comes back and it's reinvigorated by her presence, you will get more episodes of House of Cards. Trust me. Netflix is in the business of making content, as much content as possible, so they can sell it, distribute it, archive it, keep it forever and ever. Amen. Like the greatest of them all, the Disney Corporation, right? Disney. Everyone's joking that Disney should have called their online service the Vault, right? Disney's Vault. Younger people don't remember when they used to not release a Disney movie, and then they'd all of a sudden release it for like 3 months on VHS and go, "From Disney's Vault comes," and it's just like the same fucking movie. And then you go into somebody's house and you'd see they were like appropriately worn for how long they were, like their copy of Jungle Book or Snow White or whatever, you know, in those big white VHS puffy boxes. I love those. They were puffy, but you could kind of feel the cardboard, you know. Anyway, I think it's a great opportunity. This is just like The Walking Dead is killing off, or whatever they're doing with Rick. I don't know because I didn't read the comic, but it's spoiler alert. It's a big piece of news out there that he's leaving the show. And as far as I'm concerned, good. Let them all leave. I don't normally get too attached if the story can be told, then tell it. Who cares who the characters are? Tell the story, you know? So I enjoy when, I also like that they just went with this and said, let's do this, because I think that Robin Wright can carry the show. And I think that they kind of short shifted her in other seasons when her character could have been expanded. And she, as an actress, I think has a lot more depth than Kevin Spacey had in this role. He was kind of one note creepy, you know, and Claire seemed to go back and forth, and you know, they did a good job of adding depth to her, but then it's like they never went too far because Frances was holding her back, both metaphorically and within the confines of the plot of the show for the character too. And I think this gives the opportunity to expand that, right? and let her get out there and take over the show. I'm actually really looking forward to it. And I'll tell you what, I'm almost guaranteed also in the political climate today to have her step in and be president, let's see if this is going to be a redemption story. That's what I'm thinking here. Because they had kind of gone all the way they could with Kevin Spacey and her doing these dastardly things. I mean, they did it. He became president. That was it, right? So let's go. But then he had to step back and he made her president. I don't even remember, to be honest with you. But all I know is that I'm looking forward to a show where she can kind of take over. And I think it could be pretty cool. So let's see what happens. Let's see if we got any more news. I got to say, I saw another quick one before we get into Mayans, which is the trailer for the new Predator movie. Another IP, intellectual property, another remake, recall, reimagining, part deux. And it does not, I don't know. Look, this is from Shane Black. Shane Black is great. I love this dude. I mean, you know, he originally wrote, what, Lethal Weapon? He did, what's the movie he did with Robert Downey Jr., the noir that he looked, I should quickly look him up while I'm looking at this. Anyway, The Predator. I am a great fan. Again, I've seen all the Predator movies, plus, you know, Predator versus Alien and all that. I kind of enjoyed, even read a couple of the comics, and I actually read one of the novels, if you can believe this. I don't know how old I was, but it was, I remember I read it on a beach. Okay. It was probably on the Jersey Shore, folks. But anyway, Shane Black has a really good, career. Okay. The guy has written some great stuff. He's directed some great stuff. I'm looking it up right now, so I'm going to be able to tell you a little bit more of some of the stuff that Shane Black did. But let me tell you something right now. I don't know if it's just the trailer, and I'm really hoping that it's just the trailer, but this does not look good. This is like not a good trailer. It looks like it has a good cast. It looks like they're going for this kind of funny, okay, here, Shane Black, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, The Nice Guys. He wrote the original. Let's see. Oh, actually, no, he was in Predator. Isn't that funny? He's more well known as a writer than a director. The Long Kiss Goodnight, The Last Boy Scout, Lethal Weapon, The Last Action Hero. So, you know, he's been able to, throughout his career, he's been able to blend. The Nice Guys was a great movie. It really was. I really, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Nice Guys are very similar. I would suggest seeing those if you haven't. He's been able to blend the humor with the emotion, with the action, that kind of noir feel that Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and Nice Guys have, that even Lethal Weapon in a sense has. But this just doesn't look good. And I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's just the trailer. I don't judge films by the trailer. A lot of times, I've got to be honest with you, don't even watch them. I'll probably start watching more of them so I can talk about them for the podcast. But man, oh man, I'm really hoping that this is a case of the trailer. I heard that this had a little bit of issues with the production, but the cast is really, I mean, it's got a fun cast. Keegan-Michael Key is in it, Olivia Munn, Sterling Brown, Thomas Jane, Alfie Allen, Jake Busey is in it. Come on. I mean, this has got Yvonne Strahovski is in it. This has got a good cast. It looks like Boyd Holbrook. Even Jacob Tremblay is in it, for Christ's sake. Come on, remember that kid? That was the kid in the room. That was the kid in the room. Look, he got out of the room, and now there's a predator after him. But anyway, I think it's going to be good. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I fucking loved the Rodriguez Predator movie. With the piano player guy, who was in Summer of Sam. You know who I'm talking about right now. I'm having a breakdown here while I'm at the thing. You know who I'm talking about, Adrian Brody. That was a really good movie. I like that a lot. All right, that's the news. As time goes on, let's see. Hopefully we'll have more fun news. I've never done a thing where I could talk about news, so I could talk about it. All right, let's get into it. Mayans MC, baby. What a show. It's been a long time coming. Those of you that were fans of Sons of Anarchy, let me see a show of hands. Anybody an SOA fan out there? I was a huge fan of Sons of Anarchy. I watched the show. I knew that Kurt Sutter, the creator and writer who was also in Sons of Anarchy, was doing a new show. And I knew him because I was a huge fan of The Shield. And I had read an article, I think it was by Alan Sepinwall, the greatest TV critic. And he had written, they had talked a little bit about this writer who became a producer, Kurt Sutter, on The Shield. And this guy had like a kind of a rough background. He was kind of in touch with maybe the criminal element. There was a bit of, there's a little kind of glorification there. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Kurt Sutter, which Kurt Sutter tends to do. Okay. Make no mistake about it. And I said, okay, I love The Shield. That is, in my estimation, the most underrated of the golden age of television shows is The Shield. Look, I'm not going to shit on any of the great shows, The Sopranos, The Wire, Mad Men, any of that stuff. It's all fantastic. Lost, it's all fantastic. But I really do hold The Shield near and dear to my heart because I think that, like Breaking Bad, The Shield from beginning to end totally works. The whole thing works. I don't think that they jumped the shark at any point in time. Watching the last season and a half of The Shield was the most... I have never been the most anxious I have been. It's close to the last two seasons of Breaking Bad, but I think The Shield was even worse. Because the thing with Breaking Bad is... you didn't know what was going to happen, what Walter was going to do, what was going to happen. On The Shield, you were just at all times, somebody was going to die. They were just insane. It was just such a crazy show. And if you could ever believe that that bald-ass dude later became the Thing in the Fantastic Four, can you believe it? But anyway, I love The Shield. It was a great show. And so I found out, hey, Sons of Anarchy is coming out. I'm going to check this out. I'm not really into motorcycle gangs or whatever. Let me tell you something. I fucking love Sons of Anarchy. I am not a violent person. I don't like violence in particular. I don't watch MMA stuff. I don't like I don't really even like violent films. Sometimes I turn away just because I have seen violence in real life and it doesn't need to be glorified. And guns and all that stuff is not my thing. But there's something about the pure pulp, yet Shakespearean, total garbage, yet high art that is Sons of Anarchy. I can't explain it. There's nothing else like it. And I'm happy to report, long story short, watching Mayans MC, by the first commercial break when FX did that cheesy, the Mayans will be right back. And then they have like the gears of the motorcycle in the background, just like they did with Sons of Anarchy with that little cheesy music. Man, I'll tell you what, I just started smiling and laughing because this is exactly Sons of Anarchy. If you were a fan of Sons of Anarchy, you are going to love Mayans MC. quick little water break. We'll have to put up with those. This is a solo pod peep. You're going to love it. It's absolutely fantastic. It's got the same kind of setup with a slight deviations. Okay. So this guy, JD Pardo, plays Easy Reyes. He is our new Charlie Hunnam. He's our entry into the show. I want to give some minor spoilers here, just very minor. And then perhaps as the show continues, I'll get into it at the end of episodes with spoiler reviews and talk about the episodes. But for the first episode, let's talk just a little bit about the show. The basic setup is, instead of being in Northern California, now we're in Southern California. It's 2 years after the events of Sons of Anarchy. Okay? So Sons of Anarchy ended 2 years ago. Most likely, if you've seen Sons of Anarchy, you know, we're not going to be seeing many characters from Sons of Anarchy. Not a lot of people left at the end of that fucking crazy ass show. Anyway, now we're taking over with the Mayans. The Mayans are the Latin gang that are spread throughout the country, but they've got their two main gangs, right? In Northern California, Southern California. Sons of Anarchy was Red Oak original, right? They were very top Northern California. So there's not too much interplay, though they did go down south in Sons of Anarchy. And we did meet certain people. And in this episode, there's three or four familiar faces from Sons of Anarchy. There's one very familiar face, which was kind of a cool shot, but they did in a flashback. But they're also using flashbacks in this. We have flashbacks of up to 8 years. So we will, who knows what we could see, right? You never know. And if there's one thing about Kurt Sutter and his crew, he doesn't give a fuck. If he gets an idea and it works, he'll do it and he'll love to bring people back. And I'm guessing that similar to like Deep Space Nine, if they're ever looking to inject something into this show, they will pull a Sons of Anarchy character into it. I could see that happening very easily. Okay, anyway, long story short, instead of the setup in Sons of Anarchy where you have Jax and he's vying to take over the lead of the Sons of Anarchy gang, right? You're at the table. In Sons of Anarchy, you are at the table immediately with the president of the club and the vice president. Jax was the vice president of the club. We were high ranking. In this, JD Pardo is a newbie. He's a new recruit. He's just getting his jacket, right? And he just started with the club. We are introduced to the kind of cast of characters, just similarly like in Sons of Anarchy. There's a guy who's too crazy. There's a guy who's kind of sweet. You don't think he's good for this, right? Like, you've got the other green guys, greenhorns, you know? It's got that similar vibe. We're immediately kind of thrust into what's happening with this gang, right? They need to go do a big delivery of drugs to, I think, Vegas on the trip. They're hijacked, and now we're into the plot. Why were they hijacked? Who took them out? Blah, 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 all that, okay? The first 40 minutes of this show is actually a little bit different than Sons of Anarchy. They really do a good job of slowing it down, which I know is very hard for Sutter to do, of slowing the show down, letting us get into the characters. We find out that Easy had an ex-girlfriend played by Sarah Bolger, who they broke up because he went to prison. Now he sees her and it's 8 years later. She's got a kid. We don't know how long though, when they broke up, whose kid it is. Could it be his? You know what I'm saying? They're already putting laying down that stuff, right? Now, I won't give you, there's another little thing there that happens with her later, but we also come to find out that Ezekiel, Easy, There may be more to him than meets the eye insofar as why he's joining the club, which I think, spoiler alert, this isn't really a spoiler because all the ads are giving it away and all the reviews give it away. But if you don't want to hear it, jump ahead about a minute. But so he's kind of working with the DEA, but we're not sure how, because the guy we see him with doesn't seem to be too official, right? So, but then there's other reasons why he's getting involved and may want to, he wants to protect the gang, but it seems like he also is, just like Jax was, wants to uplift it. Maybe he wants to make the gang go legit, like Jax was trying to do, right? So, spoilers are over. We've got, just the cast is fantastic. Kurt Sutter, and whoever does the casting for him, you know, you say that, but it's hard to say. And that's why people say, that's why casting directors, there's a big thing about casting directors getting awards for the Emmys and Oscars, because their job is to cast what they're told to cast, right? So I give credit for the casting director, definitely, but I give credit for Kurt Sutter, because after watching Sons of Anarchy, and I even watched some of his terrible medieval television show, he's just got a touch. He casts authentic people. But he also, like for this, got Edward James Olmos to play Easy's dad. Just fantastic. Easy's brother, Angel, is great. The dude is freaking fantastic. All the like the kind of side dudes in the gang are fantastic. They're all like straight out. I mean, I guarantee half these dudes were actually in a motorcycle gang. Now, I went and did some research and I found out that this show was actually not only created by Kurt Sutter, but by a gentleman by the name of Elgin James. It turns out that this guy, Elgin James, like Sutter, but I think a little bit more so, this guy just got out of federal prison in 2012. He's served some hard time and he has kind of a past too, but he's lifted himself up by being a writer and he made a film. So it's interesting, man. I can't tell you how happy I am. By the end of this episode, I was just ear to ear smiling. So happy that this type of show is back on the air. Now, I did mention to you before that for about the first 40, 50 minutes, you're like, wow, this is not as crazy as Sons of Anarchy. And then they break out the machine guns in the graveyard. And I don't want to give too much away, but let me tell you, there is copious amounts of gratuitous shooting of machine guns and nobody cares. There's like a highway, like a road and a highway. You can see it right in the background. Cars are going, nobody cares. They're shooting off 30 machine guns. But this is like standard fare. In Sons of Anarchy, they used to just ride down the street in Charming, shooting it up with machine guns. And then like the next scene would be people just regularly walking down the street, normal people just hanging out. It's just insanity. This show is pure insanity, but it's very Shakespearean. And what they're setting up here, again, is some deep stuff. It's very soap opera, but it just keeps it going, man. It keeps it pumping. And also, it's funny as hell. There's a lot of funny parts in this show. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be on FX. What is it going to be now? Every Tuesday night. Check it out. Mayans MC. Next week, I'm going to just talk about the episode straight up with spoilers. But until then, if you plan on tuning back in, stick with the Mayans MC. There's going to be some other shows I want to cover too, Better Call Saul. They announced today The Survivor. I'm going to get into some of my reality shows. Like I said, they announced Survivor, David versus Goliath. With reality shows, I don't like read who the contestants are. Sometimes on The Bachelor, to make fun of them, I'll read them with my wife or listen to a podcast. But there's a lot of good stuff coming out, but I'll definitely, this is a show that I'm going to be hitting back and talking about, and hopefully I'll be able to bring my man Heath Solo in to talk about it too. So Mayans MC, check it out. I can't say enough how excited I am about this show. If you love Sons of Anarchy, again, you will love this show. It is the exact same show. It is the exact same show. I mean, of course, everything's different. The plot's different. The people are different. But the tone, the pacing, even the way it's shot, it just feels like home to me. I absolutely love it. All right, before I go, a couple of quick hits for you. Bachelor in Paradise, been keeping up with that. They named the new Bachelor Colton. I'm a big Bachelor fan. I don't get a chance to talk about it a lot because nobody else that I know except for my wife and Tucker, if you're listening out there, you love The Bachelor too. I'm not a huge fan of choosing Colton. I understand it. It's going to make for good TV. And kind of the rule in The Bachelor is that The Bachelor themselves is boring because the women are exciting. And that's really true. The women are always the most interesting part. That's why The Bachelorette is usually boring, because the dudes, after like three episodes, you're like, Snorefest. They're all a bunch of creatine sniffing wackos, Instagram model guys. You know, they're just annoying. The women have personalities and they interact with each other. They create, you know? So maybe it might be fun. The thing with Colton, though, it's just, they always have, The Bachelor is like the politically the worst. They're just, it's like, this guy is a virgin. Okay. He's a 24, 25 year old virgin, whatever. Look, in my estimation, if you're 24 or 25 years old and you're a virgin, that's your business. Okay. I don't care, but I think maybe you shouldn't be, you know, I'm just saying, maybe not. Sex is fun. It's a part of life. Why aren't you doing it? You know, it's like, you got, look at that. And then you're on TV and then I'm going to have to hear about, I don't know. My wife even said to me, maybe we're not watching. Hey, I'll keep up with it. I'm kind of okay with skipping a season of The Bachelor. We've watched it for like, that was like one of the first shows we ever watched together after Lost. On our second date, we watched The Cruise, the Speed Levitch documentary, and then we watched an episode of Lost. And then I think like on our fourth date, I made her dinner and we watched The Bachelor, which I was watching already. And we had a great fun just spending time with each other and making fun and talking about it. That's why I love reality TV. I watch it mostly with my wife. Another show. So will I watch The Bachelor? We'll see. Colton, you know what? You know what? I would have liked to seen someone like Diggy, who came back on the episode of Bachelor in Paradise last night. Can we get a guy with some like personality, just a normal guy? You know what I mean? That's not like trying to be famous. Colton is so obviously trying to be, I think he's got issues is what I'm trying to say here. I think he may have some questions about his sexuality, who he is. He started crying on The Bachelor in Paradise when he left. Like, people, I've always done what people told me to do. It's like, dude, you're a kid, you know, like maybe TV isn't the best way to figure out yourself, but hey, millions of people will watch. Welcome to America. Next up, Jack Ryan. I might go into this a little bit more after I watch the finale. I think I will. I enjoyed this a lot. It was fun. I didn't watch The Office. So this Krasinski dude, actually, I only know him from a couple bit parts here and there and from A Quiet Place, where he was very effective. But, and again, I think he's the same. He's just a tall, kind of goofy, kind of handsome. He did a little bit more than I thought he would it's 8 episodes and we watched 7 than I thought he would. But the show to me falls somewhere between 24 and Homeland. It's not as compulsively watchable and insane and fun as 24. And it's not as intelligent, dramatic, or serious or intense as Homeland, but it kind of is in the middle. Like, I don't know if anyone out there watched The Looming Tower on Hulu. It gives me a lot of vibes. That was actually pretty good. And the guy who starred in that was fantastic, actually. But not Jeff Daniels, though I do love Jeff Daniels. But it's like, you know, Krasinski's good. The best part about it is Wendell Pierce for me. I tweeted out there's a scene in episode like 6 where he's kind of shitting on Jack Ryan while they're sitting at a bar, and it straight up could have been Bunk and McNulty. It was just, it's worth, I just like to take that scene and watch it again. Actually, I might do it because it was just perfect. And I hope Wendell Pierce, I added him just because I want to ask him, like, were you thinking about that? Because you really like became Bunk for a second there. It was great. But he probably gets that all the time. Wire heads are everywhere. But it's a good show. I would suggest if you have Amazon, check it out. It's fun. It looks like my man Hamlet is dead on the Twitter. Said it gets better in the last episodes. I'll agree. I agree with that. It ups the ante. I'm going into the finale now. My wife and I think we watched it like we on Labor Day. We kind of breezed through it because I had to punish my son one night. He was speaking very rudely, so I made him go to bed early. And very calmly, though. And when you're a parent, that's the best way to punish. Don't yell. Just be like, go to your room now. What, Dad? Go to your room. I'll see you in 3 hours. That's the best. No yelling. Anyway, that was my parent corner. Give it a shot. I love Wendell Pierce. Krasinski's better than I thought he was going to be. The plot, it does, like I said, it picks up. They up the ante towards the end. Looking forward to watching the finale. And when I watch the finale, I'll do a full report on that. One last thing that I love, Million Dollar Listing. God damn, I love that show. Why do I watch it? It's just gratuitous money porn, rich people in New York, the city I grew up with, just a rich playground now. But they show a lot of shots in New York. The guys are funny. Does anyone else watch Million Dollar Listing? I compulsively watch that show. Usually at night, if I'm looking at the phone or something, it's not, you know, there's some shows that are like phone or talking shows, right? You have the TV on or something like that. And Million Dollar Listing, though, I watched the episode last night, and they went through, they were talking about Greenwich Village. It's just hilarious the way they talk about New York, but, gotta love it. Got just a quick $1 million listing check-in. Frederick, love him. If I was ever to be a $1 million person selling houses or something, I'd get Frederick to do it. Cause that guy is hilarious. All right. That's it. This was the first episode. Daily DVR. That's it, baby. Check us out, DVR Podcast Network. Check us out at dvrpodcast.com. I like the format. It's kind of cool. Do some news, deep dive. Hey, I'm going to be doing it every day. Check us out, September 10th. Do me a favor, subscribe. When the feed goes up, if you see it on Twitter, retweet it or share it on Facebook or Instagram, or tell me, if you're a marketing person, how should I market the podcast? Tell me how to do it. I always want to learn from people. I'm good at doing this part. I may not always be the best at doing the other part, but I'll try in my outro. Daily DVR is a proud member of the DVR Podcast Network. Check out our other great pods like Podcast Winterfell and the Westworld Theorycast at dvrpodcast.com. Daily DVR will be available 5 days a week to patrons. Go to patreon.com/DVR and 3 days a week to everybody. So that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for all. Do become a patron for as little as $3 a month at patreon.com/DVR. And don't forget, send your feedback to dvrpodcast@gmail.com or find us on Twitter @DVRpodcast. I really want to make feedback and conversation a big part of this. If I'm going to be doing it every day, I want to be talking about somebody else or commenting on what someone else said, not just going off my own noggin. So until next time, I'm Axel. Peace out.